Mm-hmm. It goes on forever, and it's absolutely a masterpiece. And here, I'm just going to rattle off all the records that didn't make my top 10 that I liked. The Who Live at Leeds, Talking Heads, Stop Making Sense, Allman Brothers, you mentioned it at Fillmore East, Nirvana Unplugged, we talked about a little, Queen Live at Wembley, 86, we did talk about that. The Replacements, the You Know What Hits the Fan came out, you like that, Mike? I didn't say it.
Very, very
the
good.
The Poop Hits the Fan, 1985. It had 19 cover songs on it. It was a complete mess, but I loved the record. Peter Frampton, Frampton Comes Alive. Okay, not one of my favorite records, but it's one of the greatest live records ever made.
Can't say I hate it at all.
I saw Frampton 3 times, and he's always good, but not during that era.
But, you know, I would say if someone says, what's the most iconic album that you remember of the 70s? Peter Frampton Comes Alive. Like,
Let me see if I can remember. Woke up this morning with a wine glass in my hand.
Whose wine? Wine?
Whose wine? What wine? Where the hell did I dine?
Yeah, must have been a dream. I can see, we know this stuff. And do you feel like we do?
Like I do? Do you feel like we do?
Do you feel like we do?
We're quoting Peter Frampton.
No, but do you feel like we do as a live song, radio live song? Probably one of the top five. I mean, because when that came on, you knew the drive on the highway was going to be okay for the next, 8 minutes?
I didn't mention Humble Pie's live album, too, and that was hard to keep off the list, but we mentioned Frampton. Frampton didn't play on that Humble Pie live album, though. He was only there for the first record. And I got a couple more here. Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band. The only reason I'll mention Live Bullet 1996 is Turn the Page was iconic. And, you know, Metallica brought it to a whole other era.
Yeah, they made it stink. I almost said something else.
But the video with Ginger Lynn in it was really good. Did you ever see the video?
Ginger Lynn. Isn't she a friend of yours?
I met Ginger Lynn because I was friends with Barbara Dare.
Oh, Barbara Dare's your friend, yeah.
Yeah, people know me. They know I was involved a little and knew people in the porn industry in the 80s and 90s because I lived in L.A.
Steve was extra on one of the early pilots.
I never said that, but Barbara Dare was a good friend of mine.
Well, he didn't make it. That's all we're going to say. No, that's cool. I mean, when you were out in L.A., man, I'm sure you... Yeah. I'm sure I don't even know the full list.
Barbara Dare was my neighbor, actually. So we lived in Marina Del Rey next to each other. I took her to see Saigon Kick once, and I took her on Saigon Kick's tour bus, and those guys lost it.
Of course
they lost it. Completely. And one other live
when
record.
When the book comes out, we'll hear the whole story.
There is a book. Two other records I didn't mention. One is James Brown Live at the Apollo, which many people say is the greatest live record ever made.
It's not, but it's a great live album. But, I mean, come on.
And the last record I'm going to mention, we're not closing out yet. In a minute we will be. We're going to close out with Arrogance by the Neighborhoods from Live at the Rat, which is the best live Boston album. Now, Jay Giles, people are probably out there listening, and Aerosmith, live bootleg. But to me, the Neighborhoods, Live at the Rat.
Yeah.
But people know I love the Hoods. All right.
Are you going to give, do I get to run down any, or is it have I already done that?
If you have a couple honorable mentions.
Well, I mean, a good segue. You said Jay Giles.
Well, give me your honorable mentions.
Well, I mean, if you were alive and well in the 70s, 80s, or 90s, any time when WBCM was alive and well, like, I mean, I always looked forward to hearing the whole must have got lost from the blow your face out album.
Yep.
Because that is like, I don't know. I thought everybody all over the country knew that song, but people are like, I don't know that.
A lot of people thought they were a Detroit band, by the way. They were popular in Detroit.
Because Blow Your Face Out, half of that was recorded at the Garden in Detroit. Now, I can't say, like, I love Jay Giles when I was younger, but I liked the poppy stuff, but I learned that, you know, there's better. Jay Giles is more about other stuff than the pop hits, right? I've always been in Pete's corner, you know, in terms of what the music that he does, Peter Wolf,
I've met him. He's a good guy. You know, it's funny. I saw Jay Giles.
I used to serve him fish.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
At a restaurant?
No.
Your house?
Well, no. I mean, I mongered fish for him. I cut his fish and package it up. There you go, Mr. Wolf.
Wow.
Enjoy.
Okay. Talents we didn't know about.
Thank you very much. I'll let you know how I like this. I didn't like that so much.
You know, Craig Mack, Charles Rivers, Craig Trellino, whatever you want to call the guy, let me tell you, he's never going to let you
Hoss.
Down. He's never going to let you down. Did you have anything else to add before I close this out?
Let me just go quickly without really, I agree, The Who Live at Leeds is one of the greatest sounding live albums, and Young Man's Blues is probably, in my opinion, one of the greatest live rock and roll recordings and performances. I wish The Who released more studio albums that had that Live at Leeds sound. But, you know,
they were great at the Rock and Roll Circus. In fact, that should have been on my list. That was a live album.
You know what?
I can't believe I left that off my list.
They're a band, though, like the Beatles that, you know, they did stuff live that really went well. And they, you know, they were trying to be a loud rock band. But in the studio, I mean, they really utilized the studio during you know, Tommy. Because what Live at Leeds came out after Tommy. So, Townes Van Sant, live at the Old Quarter in Texas.
Okay.
You like that? Yeah.
Okay.
If you like Townes Van Sant, it's I think the perfect place to start. He does all his songs, he has fun, he's in a decent mood. But they to record that album, it was like 100 degrees and humid. They had to shut the AC off in this little like Old Quarter theater or whatever because they were recording it. So it was sweltering hot in there, but everyone stuck through and he performed. Like he just a great performance by him. The guy sometimes would not get through performances. Briefcase Full of Blues, Blues Brothers.
Oh, that's an interesting choice.
My next door neighbor, who played in a band, gave me a cassette tape. He goes, "Here you go." He gave it to me without the case, and that was the first live album that I ever sat on my own and listened to. And I loved it. It had you know, a live sound.
I'm drawing a mental block, but the guitar player is amazing.
Matt Guitar Murphy played with
It was Matt
Wolf.
Murphy?
Yeah, Matt Guitar Murphy.
Someone
but
else.
But it was something Salgado, Pete Salgado, or something like that, that John Belushi based that his Elwood character off of. And a lot of the Blues Brothers guys kind of knew him. So it was, you know, that what they created was sort of fun and games, but they were real passionate about the music. And on that album, before it got real silly, they were opening up for Steve Martin.
That's wild.
You know, so, but then when they became, you know, nationally.
Steve Martin and his banjo.
Right. I think, don't you think Steve should have been opening up for them? And then lastly.
Hey, the Jimi Hendrix opened for the Monkees, so anything was possible back then.
Lastly, one album that I came across a few years ago when I had COVID.
When you were dealing with COVID.
Yeah. Is Aretha Franklin's Amazing Grace.
Oh, there's no way that cannot be a great record.
Live at New Temple Missionary Baptist Church in L.A. 1972, also accompanied by the video documentary.
I'm writing that down right now.
The video documentary called Amazing Grace. Mick Jagger is in the audience. It's like one of the greatest live performances, but it's not. It's everything. It's rock and roll, it's blues, but it's gospel. And it's in a church. And you ever want to get close to God or whatever, you know, like, listen, watch these people, like, whatever's going on in there. It's like a whole vibe, you know.
And just made me think of a song, Get Right With God, by Lucinda Williams.
Yeah.
Just thought of that. Essence, right? Yeah. Essence album.
Yeah. We'll get close to God. You can edit all that.
We're
going to
get kicked out of here, Craig. Okay, we're getting,
you know what?
Edit
that out on the podcast.
No. Okay. Craig, listen, I want to thank you very much for sharing your always interesting views with us.
Yeah.
Always interesting view. And you know what? I wrote that down before I knew how interesting your views were going to be. And I want to thank you, Mike Newman, for manning the board. And all the people out here, all the people here at WMFO 91.5 FM for letting us do this live. Please listen to Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico podcast. It's every week wherever you listen to podcasts. And this show, you probably, if you're listening to the podcast version of this, it's a podcast, okay?
And a book.
And the book. We're working on the book.
All right.
Till the next time we say goodbye, this is Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico. I'm your host, Steve Ricardo. Keep the rock and roll alive. The Neighborhood's Arrogance, live at the Rat.
Righteous.
Ooh, can we listen?
God bless the Ratskeller.
Yeah. I don't understand what can- Do you love classic rock but hate the lack of variety on classic rock stations? Then tune in to Classic Rock Mine. Classic Rock Mine delivers classic rock that rocks. From bands you know, like Grand Funk Railroad, Mott the Hoople, and Uriah Heep, to bands you don't know, like the Flower Traveling Band, Papo's Blues, and Nectar. Classic Rock Mine. It's the best classic rock you've never heard. Saturday nights from 9 to 11 on 91.5 WMFO Medford, Tufts University Radio.
trophies, far away from dry land and its bitter memories, casting out my sweet life with abandonment and love. Now the ceiling bearing down on me, save the starry sky above with light in my head, you in my train, crashing headlong into the heartland like a cannon in the rain, with the beating of the sleepers and the burning of the coal, counting the towns flashing by.
If you store your guns properly, so not just anyone can get to them,
I'll feel safer when I'm playing outside.
Safer when walking home.
Safer when my friends come over.
As your neighbor, I'll feel safer.
As a school teacher, I'll feel safer.
We'll all feel safer.
Your family, friends, and neighbors are all counting on you. If you own a gun, you have a full-time responsibility. When you aren't using it, be sure it can't get into the hands of curious children, troubled teenagers, a thief, or anyone else who might misuse it. Remember, always lock it up. For more information on firearm storage safety, visit ncpc.org. This message brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and the Ad Council.
Thank you. your eyes 55 times when you lie. It's a dead giveaway. Give away, give away, a dead giveaway. You better hear what I say.
I felt the cries of healing. Thanks for keeping it on your freeform station. We hope you're enjoying the music. 91.5 WMFO Medford and worldwide at WMFO.org.